opening today in the Gospel of Mark touches on baptism. I believe the church over the years, and I'll show you why and where later on, have misused this passage as a passage that says, for sure, this is about infant baptism. And I don't believe that. I think if you believe that, you're doing something called eisegesis. Eisegesis means you see what's in the passage, what you want to see, and you bring it out and preach it. Exegesis is finding what's in the passage and taking it out and preaching it, not putting what you believe into it. There are doctrines of Scripture that we believe we believe because of what we call good and necessary consequence. We take all of the Scriptures together and we put them together to get our doctrine. One of those doctrines is the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three being one, equal, of the same substance. But there's no place in the Bible you're going to find the word Trinity. You start in the Old Testament, and you can start in the beginning where it says, where God says, let us make man. It's a plural. And so we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being involved in the very beginning of creation and the making of man. And then if you continue through the Scriptures, there's many other places, but at the baptism of Jesus, you see Jesus, the Son, the divine Son, being baptized. God the Father speaking from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him. So you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all together, the Trinity, and by good and necessary consequence, you get that doctrine. Well, this would be one of the small verses of lacing them all together throughout the Scriptures where I could get to and add to infant baptism, but it is wrong to say that this is talking about infant baptism, because we don't even see the word baptism in it. And so I will confess that those who believe in pedo baptism, infant, pedo means child, children being baptized, have misused that scripture. So even though I'm going to touch there, that's not what this is about. It's about two other things. It's not about Presbyterian or pedo Baptist parents bringing their children to Jesus. It is, first of all, about every parent's responsibility to bring their children to Jesus. And then it says something very special that the children can be encouraged in, but there is a must here. Before you can enter God's kingdom, we all must become childlike. Not childish, but childlike, and we need to see what that's about. It's a great, great passage as Jesus will care for these children. So let me pray first, and then we'll look at the Scriptures. Father, help us with all our preconceived ideas, it's hard to ever come to the Scriptures blank, and we shouldn't. We know truths about it and all the rest, but we need to be taught by you. And there are just really important things that you're going to use children in the way parents interact with their children, how they bring them to you, and what it is to be a child that we need for our own lives. So do what we can't do by ourselves, Lord. Help us listen and help us have fresh eyes to see your word and rejoice in it and rejoice in our Savior. May this time be a blessing to us because we've seen and know him and the joy of the good news of the gospel, for we pray in his name. Amen. Well, please turn with me to Mark chapter 10 as we'll read this portion of Scripture. Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. We have parents here. It's interesting because if you would go back to the original language of the Greek, it's most of the verses are masculine verses, so it would actually have been fathers, maybe, mostly. It doesn't tell us exactly, since it's masculine, fathers bringing their children to Jesus, and it's in a tense that means they were continually doing it. There apparently began to be a very long line of parents outside of the home where Jesus was with the disciples bringing these children. So it helps those verbs in the Greek help us to get a picture of what we're looking here. As Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem, he's been spending now time specifically with his disciples, an intense time, getting them ready to understand that he's going to die and they're going to be taking over. So he's having this intense time with them. And he's teaching them specific things. Last week, as Matthew preached, he talked about marriage and divorce that they would deal with in the church. And as he's continuing to teach them, these parents are bringing their children. So let's see how our Lord responds. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. And they, the parents, were bringing children to him, to Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. The disciples were rebuking the parents. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever did not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he and Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Amen. Well, here, as you will find out through the commands of Scripture, that faithful parents will bring their children to Jesus. That's happened through all the Scriptures. And here, you have these parents bringing their children to Jesus. Now, we don't see baptism here, do we? They were bringing him to be blessed. And parents need to bring their children before Jesus. What happened in that day is when a rabbi, a teacher, would come to the synagogue or come into town, it would be natural for the parents who love their children to bring them to the rabbi to be blessed, to find his care. And them knowing about 3 years of ministry he had in the area would certainly bring their children to him. We're not finding to be healed or anything else, but that they might receive a blessing that Jesus would give to them. And throughout the Scriptures, that is the parents' job, is to bring their children before God. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, most of you are familiar with this command to parents. "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart," God says to the parents. You need to know my word and in your soul. This is Deuteronomy 11:18. "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So as the Old Testaments were talked about, if you're going to be a faithful Christian parent, the believer, you will pass on the faith to your children. And not just because you bring them to Sunday school, but through your lips during the week and your life. Wherever you are, when you stand up and when you sit down, they watch and they know and they see the Word of God lived out in your life and from your lips. And so all of you who are parents and will be parents in Christ, Christian parents, that is your calling all through the day and all through the night. And of course, you know the New Testament passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So it continues throughout the Scriptures that is the job of the parents, is to bring them before God, and these parents here are bringing them before Jesus to be blessed. And we find something very surprising here, that as these parents are coming into the place where Jesus was, the disciples are rebuking them. "Don't bring them. What are you doing bringing these?" I don't know what the rebuke was, but it's a strong word here. They were saying, "Stop bringing your kids to Jesus." But we see Jesus' response there. It says, "He was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me.'" Now, one of the things that happened in that culture, different from us, we dote a lot on our children. We'll buy our children games and little things and stuff they don't even need. Most of us with our children, You know, we almost have to get another room for their toys today or their stuff or find cabinets for it. But in that time, often your child really didn't take on much value to you until he could work. It was an agrarian culture, agrarian culture. And until your child could work, you weren't even sure that he might even live that long. But when he worked and could help bring in the crops or help around the house, then they became valuable. But to them, before that, they were to be seen and not heard, not a trouble to you. And so here, the disciples were thinking, who knows, we're not sure, but they were probably thinking, you know, Jesus is really pretty important. What are you going to do with all these kids? Look at this long line. Or we don't have time. We're supposed to be having our time with Jesus now. We're not going to get a lot of rugrats in here right now or whatever they called children in those days, when they were bothersome. You know, don't bring these children in here. Get away. You know, you're not asking for healing. You're just bringing these kids in here. What are you doing? But the word that the scripture tells us and Mark describes how Jesus acted here is he was indignant. He was angry at the disciples, and he rebuked the disciples and tells them exactly the opposite. He said to them, "Let the children come to me." Children? And when I say children, what am I talking about? Well, Luke uses the word infant, but Mark uses the word children. So he's talking about 0 to 12. Any of you here 0 to 12 today? I want you to listen. This is for you. 0 to 12, if you can hear me. This scripture is for you. The adults, the disciples, were trying to keep the children from Jesus. But Jesus says, no, let the children come to me. I want to tell you, children, that sometimes adults don't have time for you. Sometimes adults don't listen to you very well. But I want to tell you that Jesus always has time for you. That you can call upon him at any time for his help and encouragement. And he will come to your aid. He said, let the children come to me. Don't hinder the children to come to me. So I want to encourage all you little ones that you don't have to be an adult. You don't have to have a job. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have anything except being yourself. And Jesus is ready to hear you when you call out to him. So come, children. Talk to your parents. How can I come to Jesus? How can I know him? How can I speak to him? And they won't hinder you. They're just like these parents here. They want you to go to Jesus and be blessed. That would be a good conversation to have with your parents today. How could I come to Jesus? How could I be blessed? I hope that you'll have that with them today. But that's a wondrous picture that we have here in the scriptures. And then, look what Jesus did with these children. He didn't say, get away, you're a bother. Look at Mark 10 and 16. And Jesus took them, the children, in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. What a wondrous thing. Jesus had time for the children. He held them one by one. Apparently, there was this long line. He took them one by one and touched them and blessed them and cared for them. Now, this is the only time I'm going to talk about baptism here, and that this is a picture of parents bringing their children to baptism. And remember, I know the word baptism isn't in here. And just like I'd argue from the Trinity, from all of the scriptures, I would just add this one verse. Now, I want to tell you very carefully that when the famous Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon was on this point, he said this, "This text has not a shadow of shade of a ghost of a connection with baptism." And of course, I would expect him to say that. You know, and I'm thankful so much for Charles Spurgeon. I think he was wrong. And I would go with another pastor from the same time, Anglican pastor J.C. Ryle, who said this: "Of course, it is not pretended that there's any mention of baptism or even any reference to it in the verses before us. All we mean to say is that the expressions and gestures of our Lord in this passage are a strong, indirect argument in favor of infant baptism." What I'm saying is that Jesus encouraging parents to bring his children to him. And when you look at all the other passages of Scripture that would go and point to that, we would just say that's one more. It's one more addition. Very much like four places in the New Testament where adults come to Christ, like Lydia, the first convert in Europe, or the Philippian jailer. They come to Christ and are baptized, but not just them, but all of their household. And as most households at the time, they would have had children, and so we believe they would have baptized their children. So we get there that way. So I want to encourage you that if you're looking at this idea of infant baptism, this is just one more little place where a little more weight is added. I understand it doesn't say baptism, but in the long argument, it's there, and that's why I'm opening that for a moment. Well, children, I hope that you have seen Jesus care for you. He's not going to push you away. And I would really ask you to have that conversation with your parents today about Jesus. But this passage really is not centrally about infant baptism or even about Jesus' love for children, which I think you've seen that at least it could be about both of that, especially the children. But what you all, everyone, not just children 0 to 12, but everyone needs to hear is what Jesus is saying about the children and salvation and us and you. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verses 14, the second part in verse 15. This is what all of you need to see today, every one of us. Now's the time to look. Now's the time to consider your own heart as this is open, because he's speaking to you. And Jesus, Mark 10, 14, about halfway through, and Jesus said to them, "Let the children come to me, don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." You see, what Jesus' main point in all of this, as he is using the children as an example, is Jesus calls all of you to enter his kingdom. But you may not enter his kingdom unless you receive it like a child. What it means is you don't bring anything to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be saved. A child, and especially if you're an infant, but child, when they come to the relationship, they don't have anything to contribute. But they must receive everything. I was talking to Sarah and Matthew again yesterday, and as we talked about, you know, bringing home Benjamin, and it was once again that realization that, you know, and that child comes from the hospital and comes home, that you go to bed that night, and you know that if you're parents, right? You know, you thought having a child would be a great thing. You looked forward to it being a great thing, but they came home and were in the house, and you realized you were it. You know, grandma and grandpa weren't going to take care of them. The neighbors weren't going to take care of them. When they cried, you were the one that had to get up. When they need fed, you had to get the food. When they need clean, you need to do that. When they needed to get something, you had to buy it. All of a sudden, your life was changed, right? What does the child bring? Dirty diapers. You don't have anything to contribute. And what Jesus says, if you're going to enter my kingdom, you have to come to a child. The only thing you have to contribute is your dirty diapers, your sin. And you must receive forgiveness and righteousness from Jesus, from your heavenly Father through Jesus. He says, you cannot receive my kingdom. You cannot enter my kingdom until you become childlike, not childish. but childlike in your faith, understanding that you are completely dependent on the work of God in crushing his son Jesus and giving you his righteousness. And then you can give him your dirty diapers of sin. Have you come? Have you been able to enter the kingdom? Not because you were baptized. That won't get you into the kingdom. You don't need to be baptized to be into the kingdom. The thief on the cross never got baptized, did he? But he came to Jesus childlike, knowing that he was a thief. He had nothing to offer but faith in Christ. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Have you come? And no, not you're a member of Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Pull out that card or show a piece of paper. It's not going to get you into heaven. It's not that you were baptized, whether an infant or an adult. That's not going to get you into heaven. The only thing that gets you there is when you say, oh God, I have nothing to offer you but my dirty diapers of sin. I hate them. Cleanse me. Give me the righteousness of Christ. I am dependent upon him. Listen to it again. And Jesus said to them, let the children come to me, don't hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, completely dependent, shall not enter it. Oh, let's enter and be with Christ. Let us crawl into his lap by faith. Amen. Our Father,